Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, that's Marek Larwood.
Yes.
And we're back again in another instalment of our summer shorter than normal podcast. How have you been, Marek? Are you well?
We're pre-recording these, so I don't know how I will be when this goes out.
Have a guess. So sort of second week in August.
Still alive.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's in heat wave in London. Yeah. I'm assuming by now it's started to rain.
Yes.
I'll be in Glasgow now while this is happening, doing this series I'm doing called Impractical Jokers, which is based on an American version. And I'll be basically interacting with members of the public from Glasgow playing.
Do you usually film it in Glasgow?
We filmed like 2 days there, but they're filming a whole block in there.
If I was going to pick a city that you might get stabbed doing pranks on people, it would be Glasgow.
The worst city in the whole of Britain.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, and I apologise for people from our Scottish listeners and Glaswegian listeners, it hasn't got the best reputation for the...
No, Glasgow, to be honest, I've done the best comedy gigs I've ever done have been in Glasgow because of the attitude of the people. They're just very kind of front-facing. But it also, their natural demeanour can often be misconstrued by others as confrontational. And often is confrontational, in fact.
The worst place to film a prank show.
Well, this is the Marek Larwood Memorial episode, if things don't go so well.
Yeah, well, there'll be another there'll be a couple more episodes, but I would have been gone by now.
Yeah, that's
true. It'd
be
over.
That'd be weird.
What are you going to be doing right now?
Right now, I'm going to be in York writing one of two plays that I've got to write by the end of the month.
Do you want to swap?
Do I want to prank violent Glaswegians instead of stay back at home and walk my dog? No, I don't.
Oh. Anyway, this episode.
We've watched another film, an old classic this time, one that I've wanted to watch for a very long time. It is Rollerball.
The 1975 version, not which I haven't seen the 2003 version.
No, but I have no interest from reading the reviews. Apparently it does what all of these remakes of very clever 70s sci-fi films by taking out any of the allegory or edge or darkness.
Which is most of what Rollerball's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this was filmed in 1975, starring James Caan, directed and produced by Norman Jewison, is it, I think? Basically, it's about a dystopia, as most 70s films were.
Yeah, the sort of mega corporations. Very Verhoeven-y, isn't it?
Yes,
but
it is.
But it's pre-Verhoeven's sci-fi stuff, I believe. But yeah, very sort of mega corporations, men in suits, running everything, and then just keeping the general populace at bay with this sport of rollerball, which is a hyper-violent version of roller derby, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pick now, you'd think that just roller skating around... Men in roller skates going around in a circle doesn't really sound like
it. It doesn't sound that
sport.
That manly, does it? I mean, Whip It wasn't that.
No, yeah. It is. I think there's something about this film, the way it's shot. Because I don't know about you. We both play a game when we were younger on our computers called Speedball on the old Ataris.
I played it on the Amiga 500.
Oh, did
Speedball
you?
2.
Yeah. People 2, an amazing game.
Incredible, but clearly it was made by a company called the Bitmap Brothers, who were big in the late 80s. They've clearly just watched Rollerball, haven't they? Now they've just taken it and gone, well, instead of going round and round, what if it's just like football?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's the whole, the sport itself of Rollerball is just really cool.
Yeah.
The 70s costumes, numbers on their back, men sort of with spiked hands.
Spiked hands. Going around on scooters is strangely cool as well. Yeah, they're just sort of violent.
It's like an odd game which they've made up, which sort of does work.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about, I think the opening, this is filmed so beautifully as well. I think it won a couple of awards for the cinematography.
It's quite an influential film, I'm led to believe. Also, I was reading this morning that the game was so well conceived.
Yeah.
That the crew and the stuntmen and some of the cast used to play it in between takes.
They must have got really good on their skates to go around.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first watched it, I really wanted to go and play and go out on some skates. And
well, apparently the director was disgusted that some people wanted to create a rollerball league after watching the film because he thought it was supposed to be anti-violence, this film.
But it would be a great sport to watch.
It would be.
I mean, all you need to do, the concept is basically, what the point they're trying to prove has actually happened, of, you know, corporations taking over TV.
Yes.
Just replace the chairman with Simon Cowell, and replace Rollerball with, you know, X Factor, and then you've got a similar situation, really.
Control the populace.
But it's more about, there's only a small bit of it, it's actually playing the sport. But it's just shot, really, the opening shot, they just show the track and getting ready. They just show the stadium, and they show everything. It's done really, really slowly, and the shots are really beautiful. The cinematography is really great. There's very odd moments. There's very strange sort of bits where James Caan, who's the star of the film, who's this the best player.
I always forget how good he is. He's so watchable, isn't he?
You don't really have that brute now.
No.
I think after I think it's post Godfather, isn't it? After Godfather. I think it is. Yeah.
Yes. No.
Where he was at this hard man sort of, but great. A great with a sort of rough diamond, really.
Yeah,
he's a star, but he's getting too big for a sport which is supposed to, the whole idea, the concept of the sport is that there are no stars and that society and the corporation prevail, so that the stars get killed off, but he becomes too big for it, starts asking questions, and also there's a parallel world which is quite stylized, very 70s.
The director actually admitted to the influence of A Clockwork Orange on this, that it's all rather concrete and glass version of a dystopia, and there's lots of crash zooms on the violence, which is quite unsettling, and the use of classical music as well over a sci-fi was sort of 2001 had already done it, but it still wasn't.
It works
conventional.
Brilliant. It makes it timeless. It makes it seem, it even though it is very 70s, it does have this sort of immortality, this film. I think it looks quite classy even now.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think there's something about the film stock of 70s films, though, that do. They seem to have dated better. There's something about that stock that's quite artistic. I don't know. It's grainy.
Yeah, but even the way they intercut things. And they go to these parties, the football stars go to these parties where there are executives who are there as well, all these beautiful ladies. I think it's a little bit sexist, this film, in fact, where it's very sexist at all.
It's
the females.
The 70s.
Female, so basically beautiful models who could be swapped between their husbands and so and so. And they go to parties and they take pretty much what is ecstasy now.
Yes.
A pre-ecstasy sort of drug, and everyone's sitting around watching the sport. And there's some very odd sequences that sort of work where James Caan's confronting the executive who's trying to get him to retire so he doesn't have to play anymore. And it's cut between party goers shooting this bizarre gun at trees and setting fire to them.
Yeah. Like, just complete hedonism, just excess of just, like, they are pointless people, but they are,
There's destruction of something quite beautiful, just purely for, I don't know what it's trying to say, what it's an allegory for, I don't know.
Well, I think it's saying that TV influences our mentality and outlook on life. Well, I'm being a bit wanky there on purpose, but there is a thread to it of, by showing the general public this allegory of being an individual doesn't get you anywhere. That in Rollerball, it's all about the team because the individual will just get destroyed. Mm. It's stopping anybody think of raising their neck above the parapet and saying, you know, and revolting, basically. It's keeping down revolution. And the reason they want James Caan to retire is he is breaking the mold. He is good enough to stand alone and be a hero, and they don't like it.
It's gone the other way now. Everyone thinks they're an individual.
Yeah.
We need more. We need to get back to North Korea.
Where, of course, was our ancestral home.
Yes. And where the that's where I will film Bumming Man.
Will you?
Yeah.
That is a bold move. I don't know if Kim Jong-un is as into films as his dad was.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. Once I explain the plot to him and do a few, you know, just do it, I'll storyboard it.
Would you be happy with Kim Jong-un playing Bumming Man?
I don't know who would play Bumming Man. Anyway, we're getting away from the point of the...
Sorry, I don't want to influence Bumming Man casting at this early stage.
There's a couple of really funny things that almost like mistakes. So they're playing this sport, this really violent sport, and, and cities represented by teams. I love all the colours, and I love that 70s font. It's great, the numbers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the Tokyo team, for some reason, they're going to play this really violent sport, and there are quite a few of them all just wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Really odd. You don't wear glasses when you're playing any contact sport.
No.
It ruins it. It just makes me laugh out loud when I saw them.
But it's because they use kung fu, don't they, those guys?
Yeah, but you just take your glasses. Surely they'd have some contact lenses or some different type of goggles. Yeah.
Like in basketball, they wear goggles.
Did the director forget to say to them, oh, God, shit. We've got a... Did you tell Chan-wook about his glasses? He's still wearing... I don't know. I thought this film was actually better than when I watched it the first time. I enjoyed it.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I'm really, really enjoyed it.
And at the end, there's some brilliant use of sound where a non-use of sound, where it's a period where it's just silent for most of the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And incredibly powerful. I won't do it because it would be spoilers, but the silence is just, and just the sound of the skates is great. I thought, really, really great.
Making a sports movie mean something as well. I think that's brilliant. It's not only about the triumph of the team or the individual in this sporting context. There's a greater subtext to this. There is a battle worth fighting as well.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. And it doesn't go too sci-fi either. It just sets its stall and then it's utterly understandable. There's no other, you know, great leap of logic or anything.
So you look forward to the action bits. They're really great for the sport.
Yeah. And they are great, like the matches themselves. You understand the rules and you really get into it. Like,
and something about the stadium, that cycle, velodrome used as some sort of, has not been used before. It's something great about it. And some of the storytelling is really good. When they show in the finals, and they've got all the crowd chanting, and just to show the obsession of the sport, of everyone with the sport, they just show shots of empty cities. And the crowds are chanting, and you just see these shots of empty, huge, you know, like based in Rome,
place Madrid,
and that's really powerful. I said, what a clever way of showing that everyone's obsessed with it by having the chanting in the stadium played over it. Some really clever moments.
Yeah,
I don't really know what else Norman Jewison has done.
Oh, I looked him up before. It was sort of unexpected things, really. Hang on,
Norman, what have you made? Norman, what films have you done? What I was doing there was covering.
I liked it. He did The Hurricane and Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He did musicals.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
How did he do in it?
Moonstruck was him.
And he did, one of my favourites.
What?
In the Heat of the Night.
Oh, I've not seen In the Heat of the Night.
Oh.
Is it good?
Great.
The original Thomas Crown Affair is him as well.
Well done, Norman.
Norman, you good.
And someone on the Facebook page made a comment about this, actually.
What did they say?
So there.
What did they want?
I asked people to comment on it, and let me just find it. Simon Skoltok said, he saw it, I think I was 16 at the time. He said, talking about Audible. I'm editing this from the whole book. The only film I've seen in the list is Rollerball, and then I think I was 16 at the time, and I'm 44 now, so I watch it again and get back to you. My memory says it's bloody amazing. Let's see if it stands the test of time. And Ben Thomas Highton says Rollerball, awesome sauce.
Not wrong. It is some awesome sauce right there.
How many Davies do you reckon you'll give it?
I'm going to give it 9.
I give it 9 Marricks as well.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Good film, Rollerball. Death Race 2000, similar genre.
Not as good.
I love Death Race 2000. It isn't as good, you're right. It's far sillier. Because instead of American football, they take their influence as wacky races.
Yeah, it's essentially wacky, violent wacky races.
Yeah. But again, it's got political subtext and stuff. Yeah.
That is odd. It's odd in places.
Really odd.
And some of the characters are just bizarre choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more of a wacky sort of 70s drug influenced. So what do I do though? If I want to tell Ask Film Fandango about, you know, I want to write in a review.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can do a 1-minute review and we're going to be playing some of those. Thanks to people you have. But I want to send one in. Where do I send it?
You can send your 1-minute reviews, record them on your own computer, then email them to dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to comment on anything, any of the films we've discussed, or any film you've watched that particularly blew your mind, then why not write on our Facebook wall, /filmfandango, or tweet us at filmfandango. And if you'd like to contribute to helping us with the running of this podcast, because we do it all for free, then you can donate by going to filmfandango.co.uk.
And thank you to all those people who have donated so far.
Thank you very much. We will be back next week.
Enjoy the summer.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.